Good morning. I'd like to invite everyone to come on into the sanctuary and join us. I'd like to welcome everyone today to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this beautiful October the 15th. It's getting cold enough now that the leaves are going to start turning. Do we have visitors with us today?
Judy Long has a visitor. Judy,
welcome. Welcome, Mr. Eubanks. Do we have any visitors in the center? Do we have any visitors over to my right?
We have. One first timer, I think. Is that right? Yeah.
Welcome, Robin. We'll go to announcements. Do we have any? We have lots of announcements in the bulletin. I see. Do we have any special announcements that we need to make this morning?
I have some. Careful. We're going to do children's choir today at 4:30. An adult choir at 5:30. We have the Christmas music book. We will take this opportunity. The community can talk about that's going to be presented here on December 17th. So if you want to sing with the community cantata, you just want to sing with our choir, either way, come and practice at 4:30 for children. And then Sonia left me the message about Operation Christmas Child. We are kicking off our campaign to fill the shoeboxes. The information about what they'd like to see in the shoeboxes, as well as the labels for them, are in brochures on the back table. And just keeping up, I believe the due date is in November, and it's in the bulletin. I forget what November. Sometime in November, we'll be collecting all of them and letting them for the shoeboxes.
David has one.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Do we have anyone else? Any other announcements?
The Tusculum Church is in revival this week. Jeff Biggs was there. Youth worker for a number of years, and he is back preaching tonight through Wednesday night. Peggy Donovan is going to sing on Tuesday night there. So I just call you, that's your attention, ask you to pray for the Tusculum Church and those who might need a revival spirit, if it be salvation or what. We also have this afternoon. Many of you know about the Britain boy who was killed in a wreck, and the family will be having a meal here in our church. All we're doing is providing a place for them to meet. It'll be here at our church after the funeral. The funeral's at 2:30. The burial will be here in Nolensville. They're going to come to our nursery, kitchen, fellowship hall for that. So if you come and a bunch of people there that you don't know, that's the reason. It's the Britain family. And anything else about that? 2:30 is the funeral at Hickory Chapel.
I think that children's play practice starts. I'm not sure what time, but I believe they can use the sanctuary. We've created the sanctuary for that.
So we've got different rooms. We'll shift people around if they need to.
Okay. Does anyone else say something? Nice to have rooms to choose from, isn't it? Don't have to go outside. Is there anyone else? At this time, let's go to our prayer and praise request. I see something's been added to the bulletin.
Mr. Bennett preached last week and got sick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what y'all did to him, but or he did to himself. But he's back out of the hospital at home. Tim Britton family, that's the young man that passed away. Brian was one of his friends. Brian Lynette was grew up with him too. So especially hard on a schoolmate when you lose a schoolmate.
Indeed. Do we have any other prayer or praise requests? Same.
Nancy and Sharon Monroe, Sharon Darwin, Rebecca Fielder, and Sheila Gary are in Cancun. So I'm going to just say, they are just a little cheer right there.
Do you need anyone more next?
I'm sorry?
Do you need anyone more next?
I'm not going to get there, but you're living in one. There's a, I got an email from Voices Best Wallace in South America this week. They had just gotten back from Guapi, which is down in the Amazon jungle, where they met a mother who has a child. The child's name is Bar, and she has, she's 8 years old, she has multiple birth defects, both mental and physical. She cannot care for herself at all. And Voice and Beth are asking for prayer. They're trying to get away to get the child to one of the big cities in Columbia to try to get away from home. So if you pray for that new girl, her name is Laura. I will be leaving here this afternoon or in the morning from Los Angeles, Mississippi. I'll be leaving here for another about 50 workers or Katrina. And let's not forget, Bill Levin and I were just talking, and they went down to their disease. Let's not forget that, because it's still going to be 2 or 3 years before, and some of those little towns may still not survive. But the devastation is still in this town. So we're still going to be putting on the roof that people don't have a good one. So pray for that treatment and all the work.
Is there anyone else? The registration has been passed out. Be sure and register your name in those today. If there's no other prayer requests, I ask us to pause for a moment of silence to reflect and remember and prepare our hearts for worship. Call to worship this morning is responsive, so please follow with me. O come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyful songs of praise. What shall we return to the Lord for all the good things God has done for us? We will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 9. Hymn 9.
please. Lord God, we have come at your call. We have come to sing praise to you. We have come to worship you. We have come to give you honor and glory and blessing. Lord, we come to thanking you for the privilege. We come thanking you for coming to dwell with us, especially when your people meet in the name of your Son. We have come in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we know that you have a word to speak to us. But we also know, Lord, that you desire that we speak a word to you. So move in our hearts that we might speak to you, for you, and that we might hear from you. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed, and then sing together the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our call to confession is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, please join me in our prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sins. Return us to the path of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we have that assurance of forgiveness as it's written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Sam?
Turn your hymnal now, if you will, please, to hymn 522, He Lifted Me.
born in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From cheap of light to blaze of light, for praise his name he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know his well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From chains of night to chains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me.
I believe we have some special music at this time. Thank you, Jamie and Susan and John and Melanie. That was wonderful. What talent we have in this building. I believe it's children's time now. Miss Andrea, boys and girls, come on down. There's Children's Church. And Miss Andrea, I want to go live at your house. Your house sounds like fun. Boys and girls, meet Miss Susan in the back. Our offertory sentence today is taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings at this time.
There must be something in the air today. I noticed at the 8 o'clock service that was kind of glum. So I thought everybody would be awake by 10 o'clock, but evidently we're not. So we're going to try to get a little excitement into our service with the next song. It's one of my personal favorites, by the way, 515. So if you will, let's just let's try not to hide what the Lord's put in our heart today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us be thankful and joyful, be glad in it, and let us rejoice. And don't forget to watch me on the chorus.
What a wonderful day in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for it's all I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since
applause coming already.
I have seen someone with them going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart.
Now you know what's coming next time.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. I invite you to either read from your Bible or from the bulletin. And this particular section of scripture is in relation to the flesh and the spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Brother Larry.
Thank you. We left town and had a great time away, attended a Presbyterian church service in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania last Sunday, and we're glad to be home.
We're glad to be home.
We're going to talk this morning about some do nots. For the Christian, Charles is giving out a sheet of paper, and this is not all the do nots in the Bible, but there's a number of them. Do you remember coming up, growing up, that you went to Sunday school and you learned a lot of things that you could not do if you were going to serve God? And it may have seemed, and some people complained, that there are so many do nots in the Bible, or thou shalt not. And that's right. There's a lot of things that God's people are not to do. If you're going to be God's people, they're sin. They separate us from God. And we need to be aware of these and avoid them at all costs. Adam and Eve heard a do not. Do you know what that do not was? Do you remember? I know you know. It was do not eat of a certain, of the fruit of a certain tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, I believe it was. You might want to write down in your outline Genesis 2:16. Go do a little study on your own to prove. You know, Paul went to Berea to preach, and the elders there checked up on him to make sure that he was preaching what the Bible said, the Old Testament then, what the Scripture said. The New Testament wasn't in existence when Paul was preaching, because he wrote most of the New Testament. And but they would check the Scriptures to see if he was true to the Scriptures. And please, this will help me and help you also. The do not in Genesis was to avoid the fruit of this particular tree. Adam and Eve heard this one, and then the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel. Moses went up on the mountain called Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, and many of them were do nots. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a do not. Don't have any other gods before us. Don't put anybody between us and God. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Six of them deal with our relationship with other people. Four of them deal with our relationship with God. And I believe, what? Most of them are do nots. Now, honor your father and mother, that's something you are to do. You find them in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, both places. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, if you want to write that down. And then we move to the New Testament. We are New Testament people, are we not? And Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, and that's a good place to start. It's early in the first gospel as we have them placed in the Bible. Possibly Mark was the first gospel, but Matthew is first in the Bible. And the Sermon on the Mount, three chapters there all together. It makes it so easy to find it. And just for an example, in chapter, I said 4, 5, and 6. Well, actually, it's 5, 6, and 7. I apologize for that typographical error. And there's three things that I just point out in three lines there. Jesus says, do not be a show-off with your religious action. And people were coming into the synagogue or the temple, and they were kind of showing off how committed they were. When they made an offering, they wanted everybody to see it. When they prayed, they wanted to have contortions of the face and look like they were really serious with God. And they wanted people to say, oh, how serious they are. And they wore their long robes and their attachments that went with them. And then when they prayed the longest prayers. And Jesus says, don't make a show of your religious action or your action. Don't make a show of your relationship with God or your talking to God. He taught us how to pray. First he said, go into a closet to pray. And then he goes on to talk, give us the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, one outline of prayer. Somebody called it the ideal prayer, and certainly it is. Another thing Jesus said is, do not lay up treasures on earth, but in heaven. Somebody else preach a sermon on this recently, and he's not really saying don't lay up any treasures on earth. Go back to Proverbs, we are certainly instructed to lay something aside for a rainy day. But he says, don't lay them up in a manner for the moth would eat them or rust would corrupt them. But be sure that we also lay up some treasures in heaven. That's Matthew 6:19. Don't be a show off was Matthew 6:1 and following. And then another one from Matthew 6. Don't worry. Now, we may not have prayed long prayers in public, and we may not have had ugly, frustrated facial expressions when we were praying in public, and may not have worn long robes, but we may not have laid up a lot of treasures on earth, but I bet every one of us are guilty of worry. Am I right there? Have we all worried sometime or another in our life? Even after we became a believer in Jesus, have we worried? Am I off base or am I on base? So if that's the case, if any of us have worried about anything, this sermon fits, okay? At least in that point. It would seem then that with all the do nots in the Bible, and what Charles gave out was a long page of front and back of some of the do nots, not a inclusive, all-inclusive printing of them, but just some of them. But it would seem with the do-nots that we have, or thou shalt not, that there is nothing that the Christian can do except sit and twiddle their thumbs. Because if you do anything, you're going to do something wrong, right? But that's not even the case. Because Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, they had kind of sat down. They were just waiting for the Lord to come to take them to heaven. They thought he was going to come in their lifetime. And they just waited. They quit work and they waited. Waited for somebody else to wait on. But during the process, they became busybodies. They became involved in other people's business other than their own. So Paul warns them about idleness. Even being idle is a do not. And it's in 1 Thessalonians. Paul speaks against being idle, and they need to work. They need to earn a living. They thought, well, the Lord's coming back. There's no need to paint the house. There's no need to provide groceries for next week, because the Lord's going to come and take us away. And even in our lifetime, we've known of those groups who would go and gather at a certain point and wait for the Lord to come and lift them up to heaven. You've heard of those groups most of your life, have you not? I remember various times in history. But he speaks against being idle. It says, get to work. And quit being busybodies, because idleness, we know what that is, don't we? It's the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, and he likes to get in and lead us astray. Now, a close look, even at the do-nots, show us that they're attached to most of the do-nots, if not all the do-nots. There is also something for us to do. Adam and Eve were told not to do certain things, but while they were not to do this, there were a lot of things that they could do. A lot of things that would keep them busy. Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. And about three little kids would keep them busy, wouldn't it? And two of them did. They couldn't keep them from fighting after they got grown, Cain and Abel. And then they had some more, even after what Cain killed Abel. So there was enough for them to do. They were also said you're to have dominion over all of these living things. Now, if you read the story of what the living things that God had created, bunch of animals.
Take care of a bunch of animals. The things to do, right? You don't have time to do the do-nots. If you stay busy in doing what you're supposed to do. And Andrew knows that as well as anybody.
Take care. Have dominion over. Subdue. And then they gave them a garden. The second chapter of Genesis, I think it's verse 15,
they have this garden they've been put in, and they're told to dress and keep the garden. How many of you have a garden? Have a garden. It's a lot of work to a garden, right? Got to plow the weeds, got to hoe the weeds, you got to fertilize, you got to pick the fruit. So if they would have been busy doing what they were could do, the yes-yeses, we'll preach on that next week, the yes-yeses of the Bible, the things that we're called to do. Just a few of them. We can't cover them all because, wow.
But if they were, if they would have done what they were told to do, they wouldn't have to worry about getting involved with the do-nots. Dress and keep the garden. For those who received the commandments, that was plenty for them, to, for these Israelites to do. They kept getting in trouble. They kept doing the wrong thing. They kept going after other gods. But these Israelites were going from Egypt to Canaan, and they kept going in circles. If they'd only gone straight, I believe it was a 2 or 3 week journey. It took them 40 years to make it. That's fantastic, isn't it? And the opposite of fantastic, isn't it? They were so slow. How could they be so slow? Did they walk slow? They were to worship God. But they kept grumbling and complaining. And then they were told to trust in God. And they kept saying, why did you lead us out here to die in the desert, Moses? They kept complaining at Moses. And then they said, they were told to go in and take the land.
This is after Moses died, and they got to the promised land. They crossed over the Jordan River, and they said, to take the land, and they did. They took Jericho. It fell, as it should have. Then they went up against Ai. Well, they were defeated. They had done wrong. They were not supposed to take any of the bounty from Jerusalem. I mean, from Jericho. Well, Achan, A-C-H-A-N, took some of it, took it home, dug a hole in the bottom of his tent, buried some gold, some silver, and a fancy robe, and covered it over, and they went out to battle, and they lost, and then they had to cast lots to find out who it was, and they found out that it was Achan. He finally came and confessed, yes, I did this stealing. They've been told at the Ten Commandments at Sinai not to steal. They've been instructed not to take any bounty, to destroy it. And they had to stone him to death. And then they went back to battle and they took the town of Ai. Well, read the book of Judges. Read the book of Judges and you'll see that they took a lot of land, but they grew complacent, they grew satisfied, they grew stagnant, and they got tired, I guess, and they said, well, we've got enough land, and they didn't do what God told them to do. But they had a lot to do, and they didn't do it. If they had done what God told them to do, they wouldn't have been worrying about the things that He told them not to do. And then those who heard the Sermon on the Mount, maybe it was just the disciples, the 12, maybe it was a larger group, said he took his disciples and went up to the mountain, I believe, and sat down and talked to them. And they were told to let their light so shine before men. Don't hide your light under a bushel. That is, they were to reflect Jesus. And they were also told to forgive. Forgive one another. That's 2 points that we point out. Be a forgiving people. And they had trouble doing this.
Our scripture lesson is a sample, only a sample of do-nots found in the Bible. And following these no-nos in Galatians, there's also a list of things to do. The things that we can do, should do, are called on to do. Some yes-yeses, as I call them. Now, I'd like for you to join me and look at your sheet that says no-nos or do-nots. Some do-nots, 10-15-06. If you'll bear with me a few minutes, then I printed this out so you don't even have to get your Bible out to have enough do-nots to keep you busy at least till next Sunday in learning what we're not to do. Now, I just kind of went through and underlined where it said do not, or some, it says no immoral person, so no immorality. Someplace did not necessarily say do not, but it implies do not do this. Galatians 5, 19, it doesn't even say do not, but it says that we're not to do these because these keeps us out of the kingdom of God. We will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And if you look at every one of them that's listed, and you find that I'm not guilty of any of these, but you're covered, and the like. Very few of us are free of guilt in any, in all of these that are named. But if we happen to be that good, I'm believing that and the like, we find ourselves in that. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Galatia. And then, Ephesians chapter 4, do not let the sun go down on your anger. I've been angry. If I missed all of them up there, I've been angry, and the sun went down before I got over it. Have you done that too? Maybe you've been angry at somebody and the sun went down. If you, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go. Do not give the devil a foothold. No. Whew. This is kind of cutting, isn't it? The Word of God is like a two-edged sword. Cuts both ways. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. No, my. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then Ephesians 5, number verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. That's a do not, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Be not deceived with empty words, but for because of such things, God's wrath come on those who are disobedient. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Colossians 3, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality is listed three times on these two pages, I think. It was a problem in Paul's day, it's still a problem in our day. Promiscuity, immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger. Some of us will be angry before we get home, won't we? Because somebody will pull out in front of us. They'd be angry at me for putting these out. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with his practices. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat and drink. You're not supposed to eat pork. Well, I'm not supposed to eat pork. Well, I used to worry about that. Or fish that didn't have scales on it. I worry about that. Well, Book of Acts, Peter had an experience in the 10th chapter where that's clean food too. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. And I remember somebody gave me a bunch of tapes one time about
a man that had these experiences with angels. The angels were coming to talk to him, and this person who passed it on to me thought, man, you just got to listen to all these angels. Well, angels are good. They're biblical. They're positive. They're agents to work for God, but we don't worship the angel. And avoid sexual immorality. Then 1 Thessalonians. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. He hit me. I'm going to hit him back. Okay? But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone. Are you amazed at the Amish and their forgiveness of the man who came and shot five of their little girls? I'm still angry at him. They've forgiven him. That's Timothy, not Tom. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 6. Not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because they are unprofitable and useless. Then the Ten Commandments. I just listed the references there for them. And that, don't think that that's everything. If you're slip by every one of them, you're still probably that and the like. There's probably something in there that wasn't listed. So, who is guilty? All are. That call to confession, that was only a portion of it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. The Bible says that in Romans 3:10, also Psalms 14:3, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Isaiah, the prophet, 64 verse 6 says, our righteousness, which is our self-righteousness, is like filthy rags before God. It doesn't really impress God at all. We're guilty. We're guilty of sin. The Word convicts us of this. But there is hope. There's good news. Forgiveness is available. John 3:16, for God so loved us that He gave His only Son, that if we believe in Him, we will not be separated from Him, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. Matthew 26:28 says, Christ's blood was shed for the remission of our sins. He gave His blood for us. 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To experience this forgiveness, we need to realize that there is a problem. If we say, yeah, I sinned, so what? That's not realizing the problem. If we're guilty, if we realize we're guilty, we realize that there are problems. Guilty before God. The Word of God tells us this fact, that we're guilty before God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Make a note if you want to. John 16:8. Jesus had promised to send the Holy Spirit. He was going to depart. He was going to be killed. And He was going to be buried, raised on the third day, walk on the earth for 40 days, ascend to heaven. And after He returned to heaven, He had sent His Holy Spirit back to earth to dwell with men. One of the blessings of the Holy Spirit was that the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. Convict us of our sin. And He sent that Holy Spirit back. And when we're convicted of sin in our own life, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. God's Holy Spirit. Jesus' Spirit living in us, convicting us. But even knowing that there is forgiveness, there could be a problem with that. Jude tells us that some people will use the grace of God and His forgiveness as an excuse for sinning. How many times have you heard it said, well, I can do anything I want to and ask for forgiveness and God will forgive me? That's not what He intended. How many times have you
been with somebody and they say, oh, I've got to go to confession. I do what I want to just so I go to confession before I go to communion. That was not the intent of God's forgiveness. Here, Jude chapter 4, verse 4. There's no chapters, only one chapter, I guess. Jude, verse 4. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. That doesn't work with God. We need to read verse 5, 6, and 7. Though you already know it, Jude writes, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt. He got them out of bondage. But later destroyed those who did not believe. There is justice with the Lord. And the angel who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these He has kept in darkness. Even the angels cannot use the grace of God as a license for sin. Bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. There is forgiveness with God. That is the good news. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, the invitation this morning, if you see yourself in these verses, to repent. Claim the forgiveness that Jesus has provided on Calvary. And begin to live by the yes-yeses of God's Word. I believe the song is 369. It's about a promise that we have made to God, made to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. And then God has made a promise to us. We sing about that. God, we know, is faithful. God is faithful. We know that He's faithful. And He calls us to be faithful. Let's stand and sing together about our promise and God's promise. And then if there's one who feels the need to come here to this altar and pray to God before these God's people, feel free to make your way here. I'll meet with you and pray with you. Or if you'd just like to come and pray by yourself. But even if we don't feel that need to come here, where we have been guilty of the no-nos, let us confess that and claim God's forgiveness. 369, all the verses. Oh,
Lord God, thank you for your word that reminds us of those things that we should not do, that will keep us from the inheritance of your heavenly kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Let us not use your grace as an excuse for sin, but so guide our lives that we may honor you by what we say and what we do, always. In Jesus' name, amen.